Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
200 times we beg for your acclaim. 200 times we've let it fly. 200 times Dan Levitar, introduce your name. 200 times goodbye. I'm hoping for at least 200 more hellos. We'll take it one day at a time on the Greg Cody Show. The Greg Cody Show. Sing it loud, sing it low. Hear a shout you never know. Cheers for 200 episodes of the Greg.
We are turning 200 years old.
Just completely ignored everything we just said.
Years?
I don't mean years.
He just ignored everything we just said on how to start the show.
Oh, yeah. You're right. You know what?
We're leaving it in. Go, Greg.
No, don't air this.
Oh, no.
They just told me that we were starting the show coming out of that beautiful song by Yeti and Andrew Streeter. And I completely forgot. And I was making a joke about me being really old and this being our 200th episode, but I mangled everything. I blew everything. That's what I do. And so welcome to the 200th episode of the Greg Cody Show podcast. We're beginning our fourth year. We started in March of 2020, and it's hard to believe that we're coming up on our fourth anniversary, and today is our 200th show. So thank you all for coming along on the long ride. Appreciate it. Appreciate you.
Thanks, pod family.
Well, that's toward the end. No, I don't refer to my pod family until the very end, which I'll do again just for tradition's sake.
Now, I have a few clips that I want to relive, and they're mostly just my dad making terrible mistakes. But how do we feel about this David Letterman interview? Because I'm kind of, I'm not going to lie, I have low expectations for this interview.
How could you have low expectations for Letterman, man? It's Letterman.
I just feel like you guys are doing this thing again.
No, listen, I can tell you that I'm a huge David Letterman fan. I mean, I grew up watching the David Letterman show. No, I didn't grow up. I mean, I was like a grown-ass man. I was a grown-ass man watching the David Letterman show. And when people ask me, you know, what informed my sense of humor, I can honestly say that David Letterman's humor had a role in that. You know, because it was just insane and inane. And I remember him, you know, just like dropping watermelons off a sixth floor story and watching them crash on the sidewalk. And I'm like, how does he get away with doing stuff that's so stupid? But it was funny.
So and, Letterman reared your sense of humor?
He reared it. Yep. He was right behind me rearing it.
What's your favorite like bit or thing that he would do? Or the one that stands out the most to you?
You know what? I always loved his stupid human tricks.
Yeah.
I really did.
Yeah, but
that was funny. That was a good idea, you know?
But it's not the actual David Letterman.
You don't know that, Chris?
What?
You don't know that?
I mean, I'm just feeling every listener right now just shaking their head like they're doing this thing
you,
again.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? I mean, granted.
I mean, we had Charlie Chaplin on 2 months ago.
Yes, we did.
That's true.
It was a disaster.
I love, may we press your pants, please. He went around, I think they only did it once, but they went around just asking people on the street if they could press their pants. And they found somebody, took them to the dry cleaner and pressed their pants. May we press your pants, please? David Letterman. Can't wait to have him.
Wasn't that the name of his production company?
Worldwide Pants.
Worldwide Pants. That's right. That's right. I saw that at the end of every episode. It was fun.
But nothing Dad, about what, him. This is your 200th episode.
Yeah, Dad. What do you, what's the clip, like, when you think of, like, our 200 episodes, what do you, like, what's a moment you want to relive?
Oh, my gosh. There are so many. I mean, for some reason, Dick Stockton, the great Hall of Fame broadcaster, singing at the end of our episode really sticks with me.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are just so many. I remember the belly button doctor from Tupelo, Mississippi.
I love how you just say that. Like, it's like people that don't know what we're talking about are like, wait, what'd you have on?
The belly button doctor from Tupelo, Mississippi, with his wood paneling and the thing. And that was during the, it was a live podcast during the Levitard Show's 24-hour marathon celebrating their move from ESPN to Great Independence. And the thing I remember about that was Levitard, who doesn't often compliment, particularly doesn't often compliment me, actually said that was his favorite part of the 200 of the 24-hour episode was our interview with a belly button doctor, you know, in an old 1970s wood paneled office from Tupelo, Mississippi. It was golden.
Let's relive that.
Oh, Dr. boy. John Roberts is with us now. Hello, doctor.
Hello, everyone.
Before we get to my belly button, I want to address two issues. Okay, you're from Tupelo. Now, I have friends from Hershey, Pennsylvania, and they have to put up with the whole chocolate references and candy bar references. Now, obviously, Tupelo is known for being the home of Elvis Presley. So as somebody who lives and works in Tupelo, is that a point of pride, or has that become extremely tiresome and annoying to hear the Elvis references?
Well, I think that it's a point of pride. And it's also kind of a rivalry between us and Memphis, Tennessee, because that's where Graceland is.
Right.
But there are a lot Graceland of tourists that come to Tupelo to see his birthplace and to see the hardware store where he bought his first guitar.
And have you done that? Have you gone to the hardware store and reminisced?
I have gone to the hardware store many times. It's still a functioning hardware store. And I have been to his birthplace.
Does the proprietor of the hardware store like wear a hokey Elvis wig or anything like that, or is it more subtle?
No, it's basically it's just a small hardware store. People go in there to either buy a guitar or get things for their house to fix their house.
Doctor, have
nothing hokey about it.
Have you been to Graceland? Because I have, and I find it to be extremely sad.
I have not been to Graceland. I haven't made it there yet. But there's also a place called Graceland 2, which is outside of Memphis in a small town outside of Memphis. I've never been there either, but it's kind of a museum to Elvis as well. So if you ever make it to Graceland, try to go to Graceland 2 as well.
Doctor, we'll get to our belly button in just a moment, but I also wanted to admit something to you. And this is the God's truth. Until I was 10 years old, might have been 11, I thought a radiologist was someone who repaired radios. And my parents corrected me. But I'm wondering, have you ever had someone make an appointment with you and show up at your office with a busted transistor radio or something of that nature? Must happen a lot.
That is an excellent question. Not yet. No one has shown up with a radio yet.
Oh, gosh.
We didn't even get to the belly button coverage.
No.
That's great,
that's
though.
True. I love Graceland, too. I haven't been there either.
Yeah.
Well, a quick update on my belly button. I have not had it taken care of yet, so it still protrudes.
Let's see.
I still need to have that minor surgery done, but I haven't, even though that guy gave good advice on what to do about it.
Let me see it. Oh, yeah, still there. Oh, my God, it looks bigger than ever.
Also, Graceland 2, I think, shut down in 2016.
Just everything about that guy's energy, my dad's tired-sounding voice. Like, what a fun time that was.
It was great. I enjoyed it. Levitard loved it. So that's a stamp of approval.
Yeah, that was good. Well, that's all, folks. It's the only memory from 200 episodes.
I mean, do we have more clips?
The steering wheel for your own show. Like, I
don't know where this is going. I don't know.
Chris, what are some moments that stand out to you from the long history of this show.
I want to make fun of my dad here. So I want to relive my favorite Greg Doesn't Know movies.
Oh.
Like, I don't even know if this needs setup, right? I'm pretty sure the question's in it yet. So this is just, last week we had a disaster of Greg Doesn't Know movies with Michael, but
terrible.
This is actually, you wouldn't know it from last week, but it's a damn good segment. We've had some really good laughs with it. So let's play, it's consensus, our favorite moment from the Greg Doesn't Know movies segment.
Who plays the main character Gordon Bombay in the Mighty Ducks series?
Mighty Ducks guy.
Isn't it the guy from Three and a Half Men?
It's not Charlie Sheen.
I don't know. Al Sheen. I don't know. Squeaky clean. I don't know. What's the name?
That was the best.
I'm almost passed out. Oh, I'm dizzy.
Oh, that's so great. Al Sheen.
What's his name?
Emilio Estevez.
Emilio!
The Mighty Ducks man. You were there.
Chuck Sheen's brother? For real?
You almost killed me, man.
Al Sheen. Al Sheen is great.
Oh, my face was purple at the end of that. That's the first thing I think of when I think of funniest moments from the show.
Now we just relived a moment from Freedom where the belly button doctor, my favorite moment from our Freedom thing was my dad starting the show. It's 4 a.m. I believe we started at Yeti, right? Right at 4 a.m. And his first bit of content is, hey, I forgot to tell my wife something. Let me call her at 4 a.m. So can we relive my dad calling my mom at 4 a.m. during our 24-hour marathon?
I forgot about that.
Why isn't she answering? Where is she?
Who is she with?
Hello?
Hello? Hey.
Hello?
How you doing? Hello?
What's wrong?
What do you mean, what's wrong? I had a quick question for you. Do we have a dinner reservation tomorrow? I feel like I thought we did.
No.
Seriously?
You have to ask me this right now?
What's that?
You have to ask me this right now?
Well, because it's going to affect the rhythm and rhyme of my day today. It would help me to know right now whether or not we had a dinner reservation. Are you saying you don't know or we don't?
I mean, we have to talk about that right now. I don't think the rhythm of your day is really going to be affected by that right now.
All right. It sounds like you're in a bad mood. What happened? You have a bad day or what?
It's called sleeping in the middle of the freaking night. What are you talking about?
Okay. All right. Hey, I love you so much.
What are you doing?
Well, we're actually doing a podcast right now.
I know, but why are you calling me right now?
I wanted to know whether or not we were having dinner tomorrow night, but you've... You know, you've answered the question, we don't, which is great. So I want to thank you for that and love you very much. Hey, go back to sleep, would you? Put a Lobo's Mint under your pillow and dream big.
Yeah, that'll probably get me likely, and I can go right back to sleep right now.
Okay. All right. Love you so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
How'd that go for you?
About as well as I thought it might, actually. But it's fine. She's a perfect person.
Wow. I actually said that.
That is great. That is just
it's such a terrible idea for content, but it's a perfect idea for content as well at 4 in the morning.
Like, why are you in a bad mood? What's wrong?
Right. That's something I've learned about your family. Is your family has one consistent phrase that you all say and that you all say exactly the same way.
What
are you doing? What are you doing?
What are you doing?
What are you doing? You all say it the exact same way, and it kills me every time.
Wow, that's good. That's a good note. I've never even noticed that.
It makes me laugh. Even if it's just internally, I laugh every time I hear it.
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
You're right.
We do say that the same.
Wow. I can picture all four of us saying it too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, this next one I want to replay, I'm not even sure it's a good clip because this is one of the more memorable things we did. But I actually don't remember the content of it. We had a professional whistler on.
Oh, yeah.
And we were very proud of ourselves for this.
Yes.
We were like, this is a funny guest. It doesn't even matter what he says. It's just funny that we had a professional whistler on. So let's relive when we had a professional whistler on. Because if my memory is right, the content, not as great as just the idea of having a professional whistler on.
Right.
But the whistling, beautiful.
Let's hear it.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to lie. That sounds like just middle-of-the-road whistling.
It's more whistling than I can do.
It's
I can't
more
whistle.
Like a... to me, that guy could be a professional bird caller.
Okay. I get that.
But, all right. Whistling, like I said, not it doesn't work way great over Zoom either.
Well, here's the thing about whistling. And Christopher, my father, your pop, was a whistler. Like, he would whistle.
That's what I mean. I've grown up. You're a good whistler. Uncle Dick's a whistler. Pop. I've grown up hearing what that guy just did. And if that guy's a professional, you guys could have been professionals.
Yeah, but he whistles in a higher register. I don't know the musical phrase for it, but I prefer like a more of a mid-range whistle. And the thing about whistling is if you hear it for like 20 or 30 seconds, it's nice. But if it goes on and goes on and goes on, it's like, shut up already. It becomes annoying.
If I could whistle, I'd be so annoying. I'm a son of Mayberry who can't whistle, which is a shame and a disgrace. But if I could, I'd be so annoying because I'd do it all the time.
Wow. I'm surprised you can't whistle.
Yeah. I've never been able to figure it out.
Have you tried?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. What is the physical, biological reason why some people can whistle and some can't?
Oh, you should have asked the whistler.
I know, I should have, but he would have no idea.
Speaking of huge guests, let's get to David Letterman.
Oh, wow. Okay. Exciting.
There we go.
All right.
There we are.
We have liftoff. Nice hat. I like it.
I just got it.
Great. Perfect. That's terrific. Thank you, David Letterman, for joining us.
Well, you're welcome.
Go ahead, Christopher. You had a question.
Before you start with your hijinks, I was going to ask him how genuinely tired he is of people doing this to him and making him, like, because your name's David Letterman. Like, are you tired of this bit yet?
Well, since he retired, it's been a lot better.
Okay.
So there's a whole generation that doesn't really know who he is.
Which is sad, because I grew up with his, he helped raise my humor. And I loved Letterman. I was a big fan of his show. And of course I saw the stupid human tricks and all that stuff. What year was that you were on? Refresh my memory.
We're on 95.
95. Okay. And you did, how do you refer to it? Flexing the pecs. How do you refer to what you did?
The Lex Luger thing.
We are rhythmic pec flexers.
Okay.
Now my dad can actually do it too, and at the end of this interview, he'll join you in your quest to do this.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. That absolutely will not happen. I don't listen. I'm out of shape.
Flex the pecs.
No.
Flex the pecs.
You got to understand. I wear a shirt in the shower. I'm never seen without a shirt. So don't worry about that. But David Letterman and were you on because your name is David Letterman or because he genuinely wanted to see someone flex their pecs?
Well, I think it was they wanted to see us flex. So it actually goes back to the Gong Show. My brother did that solo in 1975.
Wow.
And he did some Gong Shows in college. And we sent our video into Letterman. And they actually... You know, it's a selection process the day of the taping. So they bring five acts in, they choose three. So we didn't know we were getting on till 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Question, what the hell is the Gong Show?
Chris, you don't know the Gong Show. Wow.
No. What the hell are we talking about?
It was a variety show. Okay. And if you were bad, they gonged you.
Okay.
And my brother was bad. He got gonged. But you got a year's supply of Rice-A-Roni and Z-Brick.
Wait, a year's supply of Rice-A-Roni?
Rice-A-Roni and then Z-Brick. Do you remember Z-Brick?
No, I don't.
It was peel and stick plastic brick you could put up on a wall in your house.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looked awful.
Everybody needs.
Yeah, it looked just terrible.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to test your memory here because it's been almost 30 years. Hard to believe. Who were the other human acts on? Like, who were the five that you were competing against?
Well, there's a guy who could balance everything from a dollar bill to a canoe. And okay. He actually did not get on.
Wow.
There was a girl who could spit gum out of her mouth and suck it back in.
Hell yeah.
And it was attached to a hair on her head that you couldn't see.
Oh. Oh my God.
And she got on, and I can't remember the other act that got on.
It was the guy with the dentures.
Oh. Oh, the guy, he clacked his dentures like he was a old time camera.
Thank you, okay. Disembodied voice. We appreciate the help there.
Yeah, that's my sign.
And what about the other one? Was there one more?
There was, and I, for life of me, can't remember what they did.
Okay. Did you win?
Disembodied voice? Well, you got that one?
No, there were okay. No winners, just getting on the show.
Okay.
That was pretty much it.
How was Letterman? I've heard varying reports on whether he's a nice guy in real life or whether he's sort of a jerk. How did you
find him? Very aloof. He was very aloof. So, you know, the jokes about the studio being cold, it was freezing. And, of course, my brother and I had our shirts off, and we actually were rehearsing with the band. Paul Schaefer was a great guy.
Yeah.
But David Letterman, during the auditions, it's a producer. He doesn't come out. He doesn't want to meet anybody. So we met him on stage. He made a comment about the name, said, oh, we're not related. At the end of it, he goes, oh, maybe I want to be related to you guys now.
That's cool.
And that was it.
Now, are you aware of what a fall this is for you going from the Letterman show to this program?
Oh, there's been several in between. So it's been, we've had an up and down flexing career.
That's what I mean. Like, I'm sure you've done, like, this is the bottom, though. I just want to let you know what you're doing right now is, it doesn't get much lower than this.
I did a local Simulcast that was not.
All right, we're not the lowest. All right, second lowest.
Not the worst.
All right, we are large and nationwide.
Disembodied voice chanting.
David, I have to ask you this. In the Letterman family, in the lore of the Letterman family, is the rivalry between you and your older brother for flexing pecs, is it a bitter rivalry? Like, who's better between you and your brother?
Well, at the beginning, he was, but he's kind of let himself go. So now I think I'm the top of the family.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Dangerous territory, Greg, with that question.
Well, believe me.
He did start it. It was his brainchild. Okay. So
his flex, his pecs have become just a little bit too flabby, would you say? I'm not putting words in your mouth.
Well, you are, but I would agree.
What's the highest height? Is the Letterman show the biggest platform on which you have bounced your boobies?
No. We actually did I think it was 11th annual Comedy Award show with Phil Hartman.
Wow. Okay.
So we're at the Shriners Auditorium. We got the limo ride and the red carpet. And we got to experience the highs and the lows of being a celebrity.
Wow.
So when our limo pulls in, all the fans, you know, are anticipating a star coming out. So we hear everybody goes, and then we walked out and you hear the collective, oh. Yeah. And then the door wouldn't open. So we couldn't even get inside.
What do your spouses think of it all?
Oh, well, my wife was the one that sent the tape in the letter.
Okay.
So she's kind of been our manager.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So she's proud of those pecs. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like this is too much teasing me. Let's get to this thing. Let's do this. Right.
Yeah. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
No, I'm asking David. Is David Chris, ready? I know you're ready.
Oh, yeah.
Is David ready? Has he been warned about what we're asking him to do?
Did Jeremy warn you? Did Jeremy ask you?
Well,
I told him, he knows.
Now, I'm just a year or two younger than Greg, so I don't know if you guys really...
You are 273?
Here, but we'll see.
Oh, look at this.
I'm close. Oh,
he looks great.
All right.
He looks great.
Ladies and gentlemen, David Letterman.
Here. Yeah, look at those bad boys.
David Letterman is going to be bouncing his pecs to...
Oh, my gosh.
The...
Hold on, wait for the music. Wait for the music.
He's going to be bouncing his pecs to the Eddie Blanc and Greg Cody original Morning Man. And since this is an audio medium, I'd like to encourage our listeners to follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at The Greg Cody Show. You're going to want to see this.
Let's go, Greg. Get in this. All right, enough. Let's make it. This we've made this guy perform enough. Thank you, sir. My wow. God, you're the same age as my dad. Dad, look at this guy.
I know, that's chiseled. Hard to believe.
I could seriously tell when he had his shirt on. You could see his lats, and I'm like, this guy stays in shape.
Yeah,
Jeremy was not kidding.
What are we doing?
I mean, just guys like you call me. You always got to be ready to flex.
Are we still doing? What are we doing? Like 50 push-ups a day? What's the routine here?
Oh well, yeah. I teach a fitness class at the Y, so that keeps me
okay
going. Excellent.
All right, good.
Wow, that's great. That's terrific. Well,
thank you for performing for us. I feel like a little ridiculous making you do that, but what an honor to have you on.
Really good.
It's so appreciated.
David Letterman. Yeah. We advertised David Letterman on the podcast, and we delivered, ladies and gentlemen.
You did.
Yes, we did.
All right.
Thank you so much, man.
This thank you. Really Jeremy, cool. Thank you for You're arranging awesome. This. And disembodied son, yes. Thank you.
There he is. All right.
I'm a blur.
Thank you, blurred friend. See ya.
Jeremy, are you a pec flexor as well?
I am, Greg. You want to see some of that?
I would love that. Yeah, because it's a family tradition.
Sure. If we unblur this whole background, we can get a few of us going here.
Let's go. I'll take my dad. You take your shirt off. Let's just get going here.
Yeah, come on, Chris. Jump in.
Chris don't want to show his belly button.
What is that? What is that belly button? What is that?
Here we go. Let's go.
Dad, bounce it. Excellent. Thank you, guys.
Right.
Beautiful. So much fun. So much fun. So much fun. Yeah, that's so much fun. Thank you, guys.
You're home. Bye. Have a good night, fellas.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That was something. I'm not sure what it was, but it was something. I tell you, David Letterman could really flex. Like, I was impressed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there was some movement there to the up and down, to the beat. It was great. It was ridiculous, but it was great.
Let's go to break. And now a poem about Sheets and Giggles by Yeti Blanc. Ah, Sheets and Giggles! This poet is tired, but buying new bedding? Now that's pretty wired. 8 poems down for your wonderful sheets. And now just one more, and the word on the street is that they've slashed all their prices 24%. Thanks to Colin McIntosh. Man, what a gent! What a great way to start the year 24, then with fresh sheets and pillows. Now let me implore, go buy some soft sheets and get rid of the cotton that traps in your sweat, getting smelly and rotten. And trade in your pillow so hot and so stiff and buy eucalyptus for your nephew named Cliff. Dispatch your old mattress that gets hot and lumpy and get one that cools so you can get humpy. Sheetsgiggles.com/Greg. That's where you go. 24% off everything. What a jolly good show. Put sheetsgiggles.com/Greg in your queue. Make it out with the old sheets and in with the new. The end. Support the Greg Cote Show by supporting Sheets and Giggles. And now, back to your regularly scheduled programming.
Yeti is consistently crushing these poems. Sheetsgiggles.com/Greg. Yeti, what do we have for the people this week?
24% off site-wide beginning or now. Now through midway through January. So about the first half of the month, 24% off of everything. Get out with the old, get in with the new, ring in the new year with some great sheets, some mattresses, pillows.
I mean, comforters. Guys, just treat yourself to the works. Get a mattress, get the sheets, get a pillow, get the comforter. You will thank us. You will tweet me in a week or two and say, hey, what a suggestion by you. I love this product. It is just, it's cool.
It keeps you the right temperature. It doesn't get you overheated. Doesn't get you too cool. It's soft. Is the perfect softness. And I'm telling you, sometimes I just get home from work and I just lay in the sheets. I just plop down. It's one of my favorite parts of the day of just the post-work. I'm going to lay on the bed for 5 minutes. And I love it. Wow. And Sheets and Giggles makes that a pleasurable experience. Sheetsgiggles.com/Greg. Promo code
Greg.
Greg for 24% off almost the entire month of January. Go now, guys. Let's get back to celebrating my dad being. Now, this clip I want to play, it's us talking about mukbang. It's basically like it's a common form of ASMR. And I don't want to give too much away of this clip, but basically I'm eating grapes and we turns into ASMR and my dad and us discussing the popular mukbang.
Well, that's the whole clip, everybody.
I'm still eating grapes.
I know you are. I hear it. It's ASMR. The Bat Queen. What was that bat shit? What was that thing? Mukbang. Mudbang. What was it?
Bat shit.
I knew it was like two syllables. Mukbang.
Let's watch mud these bang. Bat shit videos on my TikTok
they
algorithm.
Are bat shit. I mean, they are pretty bat shit. That's hilarious.
Hey, there's Grayson in the background climbing the stairs. Trying to get into my podcast again. Hey, Graceland.
I'm going to finish with a red grape and a green grape.
Okay, no SMR, please. Bang box. Good night, everybody. We'll see you. Love you all. Bang Thanks for box. The support. See you next week.
I love that.
Oh, that was funny. You know what I remembered while I was listening to that, and I don't know why, because it's totally different, but we had on the... what was a pretty somber episode when Don Shula, the great Don Shula, died. And we spent a whole hour talking to his former players and everything. And it was really good. It's one of the best episodes we've done. But in that episode was one particular remembrance, one particular story by a former player, Larry Little. And it went off the rails a little bit, got a little funny. And I would love to hear that.
Larry, you mentioned earlier that Shula had a pretty sharp sense of humor, sort of a dry wit, I guess. What's the funniest Shula story you have?
You know, back in the day, we had the 16-millimeter film projectors. And I don't know who did it, but we were getting ready to watch film, and someone put a porno film in there.
Wow.
And when he cut the film on and it came up, he said, "What the hell?" And everybody burst out laughing, so did he. Though I think he enjoyed it more than we did.
That's hilarious. Shula was a pretty religious guy, a real Catholic. I can only imagine how taken aback he must have been.
I mean, it shocked him, and it shocked all of us, because I don't know who did it to this day.
Really?
Someone said Kuchenberg did it. I'm not sure, but he got a big laugh out of it.
that's hilarious. That might even be better than the alligator in the shower story that Zonka likes to tell. I don't know.
That was a good one, too.
Oh, that is so good. That is,
you know, the weird
clip.
Thing about that story, and it didn't come up on the podcast, but I found out later. The team watched the entire film.
Oh, no.
Like, I think it was like a 70-minute porn.
That has to be a joke. That's a joke.
Yeah, it is a joke.
I was going to say.
Only it was true, though.
Now, Larry Little, one of our guests that we've had on this show. Now, we wanted to take a moment here and celebrate the guests that we've had. And, you know, we thought of the idea of doing a Billy Joel parody. And then Yeti, who's our music man around here, said that is the most hacky song to do a parody to. Everyone has done a parody to We Didn't Start the Fire. So I said, screw you, Yeti. I'm taking the lead on this one. So I wrote it, I recorded it, I edited it, and here it is. Andre Dawson, Sarah Spain, Dave Barry, Harvey Green, Amino Hassan, Stu Gotts, and a guy named Greg Lobo. Larry Zonka, Juju Gotti, David Sampson, Luther Campbell, Pablo Torre, Toenail Expert, and John McEnroe. Mean
Gina Kimes, Nick Wright, Whittingham, Tim Kirk, Jan Lebatard when Shula died, and the freezing cold takes guy, Aaron Eckblad, Erlene, guy who took down Epstein, Brendan Benson, Philip Bailey, and a professional snuggler.
Admit our guests are fired. We're not here to rank them, but we're gonna thank them. Admit our guests are fired. We're not here to rank them, but we're gonna thank them.
Ryan Lomberg, Brad Williams, Bill Gates and Zach Thomas, Charlie Chaplin, Ricky Williams, Christopher Bosch, Chuck Todd, Dave Parker, Morgan from Australia, Billy Gill, Uncle Dick, and don't forget Dick Stockton, Mike, Ryan, Poppy, don't forget Roy Bellamy, Lucy Rodin, Kate Fagan, Jeremy Taché, Larry Little, Dave Shula, Kornheiser, Professional Whistler, Hal Habib, Ron McGill, Belly Button Doctor.
Admit our guests are fired. We're not here to rank them, but we're gonna thank them. Admit our guests are fired. We're not here to rank them, but we're gonna thank them.
All of our guests celebrated in song.
Yes.
Most of our guests.
Not all of them. Most of them.
That's a lot of guests.
Most of them that fit syllabically.
That is that song is the most music snobby I've been ever since I trampled all over Greg's tender moment with Luther Vandross. That was, which is my most awkward moment on the show.
Yeah, I remember that dance with my father. I'll never forgive Yeti for that. Yeah.
And Christopher Bosch.
Oh, that's my favorite part of the whole thing. I laugh every time you say that.
I like the Dick Stockton line as well. And Dick Stockton.
That was all good. Right. That's all Yeti. I wanted to replay.
Well, wait a minute now. We can't let this slide. Yeti, I need you and I to offer a quick critique of Christopher's singing, his musical performance. How did we think that went?
I mean, I was going for more comedy than like actually like the chorus was purposefully terrible.
Look, and that's what Chris understands, that if you can't nail it, you may as well mail it in and have fun with it. And that's what he did.
I thought it was good, and I am thrilled to have that voice on the podcast, because everybody who listens to this podcast has heard plenty of Yeti and me singing, but I think it's the first time that you have ever been involved in a song on our show.
No,
I'll be wrong.
I've got something for you a little bit later. A little bit later, we'll hear. But when we go back to kind of how everything began, but one of my favorite things about being on the show, There's a lot. There's tender moments, like when we played Pebble Drive, and like that it actually succeeded to do what I wanted to do, and like it resonated with you and a lot of our listeners. Doing Morning Man with you, like that, making that song with you, that was great.
So all your songs,
all
Jamie,
my songs, right.
Yeah.
But like being able to do the creative endeavor that Hard Knocks has been. Now we don't do it as much as we did season one, because it was a lot. With season one, we did 10 episodes or more.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And we put a lot into them. And, but so that season one was, I mean, they've all been like, I've enjoyed since then, but season one was special.
Yeah.
And to me, there is no more special moment in season one than when the Lobos were in the lead, they were winning games. They were afraid of them getting large heads about their victories. And so you brought in a man named Dexter Dinwiddie, who is in the Guinness World Book of World Records for having the world's smallest head.
Guys, I've gone through life never having to worry about having a big head. And you know what? Even though some people might make fun of me, I think it's the way to go. Because I never have to worry about overconfidence. I always have to worry about doing my job, doing my due diligence, not taking anything for granted. And you guys are in that position right now, okay? I know you got helmets to hide it, but I want you to trot onto that field imagining that that helmet is rallying around on top of a small head like mine. Okay, guys? I've been a big fan of yours for a long time. I got all the faith in the world for you. Go get them today, the small heads. Small heads.
Small heads. Small heads. Small heads. Small heads. Small heads. Small heads. Small heads. Small heads. Small heads.
Small heads. Small heads. Small heads. Small heads. Small heads. Small heads. Thanks for having me, guys.
Is it offensive giving that voice to someone with a small head?
I got a little bit of blowback on that. I think somebody from the Lebatard show, who will be unnamed, was a little uncomfortable with that, you know, because, you know, I don't, is it even a thing? Is having a small head like considered a deformity? I don't even know. I didn't
there
mean
might
to
be,
insult anybody.
But
I mean,
Not I've to the extent that Dexter Dinwiddie's head was small.
Right. Right. Dexter Dinwiddie's head was the size. It's like for Men in Black.
Right.
Yeah. And Dexter Dinwiddie, look, he's in the Guinness Book of World Records. I mean, it's legit. You know, he's got the world's smallest head. The team called him in, and it was a great, great inspirational talk.
I really do think the best way to end this kind of celebration of 200 episodes is to relive how terrible the first episode sounded.
Yeah. We've got a supercut of all of your greatest hits on the 200th Wow. episode.
Back when the
I mean, podcast, on your very first episode.
Back when the podcast was just my dad reading.
Yep.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm Greg Cody, and I'd like to personally welcome you all to our historic, first of its kind, world premiere podcast. I'm excited. Podcasting will never again be the same. It'll probably be just a little bit worse. I will warn you, this may turn out to be a bare bones podcast as well, because we just blew 60% of our total budget on that high-priced announcer to introduce us. You may be wondering, why am I doing a podcast? Get in line. I wonder that myself, and I figure we'll all find out the answer together, learning as we go.
Wow.
As many or even more of you may know, I'm with the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gotz on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm the show's only regular weekly guest co-host.
My voice sounds awful.
Every Tuesday, pardon me, while we take a telephone ring break.
Oh, yeah.
Please stand by.
That was that. We did not plan
Continue.
That.
Continue. All right, enough of that nonsense. We got a lot to cover here today. I'm so excited. We got a big show coming up.
Why are you talking in your closet?
This is my studio. This is episode one of the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody. We're making history here. This is history making, and let's do it till we're satisfied. Let's go! Immersive content sleep headband. I'm about to protest on behalf of the venerable Sears catalog of my youth. This is the headband with built-in speakers. Pause for another interruption.
Wow.
I didn't even know we still had a landline. Let's continue. New, it says. Honey, I just cannot fall asleep. Would you please hand me that Cody column on the Marlins bullpen woes? Take Cody column tonight and sleep.
Cody column, Cody column.
Oh, I
go to sleep. Go to sleep. Go to sleep.
Nice.
Cody column. Cody Column, Cody Column, go to sleep, go to sleep.
Nice.
Sleep. Cody Column.
Well, folks, thanks for partaking of this history-making episode one of the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody. If you liked the episode, even if you didn't, please subscribe, rate, and review. Subscribing, very important to what we're doing here, and we appreciate your support. Thank you, family. If you're wondering what we're going to do next week, you better tune in, because you never know.
There he goes.
God, wow. That was brutal. The only good parts of that first episode were the phone ringing and me singing, huh? How about that? Not terrible. That's
correct.
Jingle.
Yeah, you did
Cody
great on
column.
Yeah, I'd Cody forgotten column. All about that. That
me was- too. I forgot about, like, me busting in, like, why are you in your closet?
Listen to how bad first... Greg sounded, too.
I've been my voice was... Remember your voice, man?
Yeah, my voice was really hoarse. I remember
I've just been carrying this podcast the entire time, huh?
Yeah, oh, yeah, for sure. The first two episodes, I think, sounded so different from what it became. And then beginning with episode 3 or 4, I think we began to sort of get a rhythm going. But
Yeti, I think he took the phone out of the office. Yeti's trying to do the bit where we call you.
I was trying to call you.
He was trying to, like, you know, the first episode was interrupted with ring. He wanted this episode to have a ring in it, but you took the landline out of the
office.
Okay,
see, I'm a professional now.
Hi, you know, I've got my... reached the Cody family. We're not home right now, or we can't get the phone. Please leave us your...
Okay, I don't even know if our landlines work anymore. Be honest with you.
You still have an answering machine.
Still have an answering machine.
That's true. They do, but I never use the phone anymore. So
200 episodes in the can. I love you guys. I love this audience. I love doing this with you every week. Looking forward to next year. We're going to get bigger and better. More fun bits, more music, more good guests. And I appreciate, I'm you know, it's New Year's. So I'm just kind of evaluating the last year, looking forward to the next. And I just appreciate the listeners. I appreciate you too. And that's it.
Yeah, same. Thanks, guys. It's the best. And thanks to all our listeners. Our support has grown a lot. And like just everything. Validating all the work that I put in by buying the stuff from the store.
Yep.
Supporting our show and you know, downloads and telling people about it and interacting with us online. Awesome.
Thank you to Sheets and Giggles too.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, for sure.
We love them.
Sheets and Giggles have allowed us to do so much. Greg. Yeah,
remember when they sent us to the Final Four? Remember they sent us to the Final Four?
Oh, that's right. Four? Yeah, that was crazy. That was insane.
Yeah, but you can still get a You Say Who, We Say Who t-shirt in the at shop.thegregcotishow.com right now.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah, those are hot sellers, but not as hot as the nice hat, which David Letterman was wearing. So thank you, David Letterman, for wearing a nice hat. This is where I say pod family to the annoyance of Christopher, but I do thank you all very much. And thanks for being along on this 200 episode ride. It's been a joy for us to do. And the coming year is going to have a lot of new stuff, I think. And one of the things that I'm going to tease is that we are going to have more of a visual element to this podcast. And I swear that in the coming year, I'm going to build a studio in my home. And we're going to become a little bit more of a visual thing, not just an audio thing. So,
ooh, we're going to be one of those pods where me and you are like on two chairs with mics instead of being on Zoom.
Maybe a Datter Day project.
Yeah, I think it could be.
Maybe you build a side house in your backyard for Yeti and his family so he can be down there permanently.
You know what? That's good. It'll become like a commune. Yeah, we'll have the whole family over here. It'll be great. Cody commune. Yeah, the three families will all live together under one roof, but not Michael after his performance on last week's Greg Doesn't Know Movies.
Dad, let's end this in unison. Let's end this in unison singing together. And I'm Greg Cody.
And that's how it was.
Oh, back in my day.
That kind of thing.
Yes, back in my day.